If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 15. And the title here is, what did I decide to put up there? Understanding Christian Liberty. I'm not real creative with my title, but it's very clear what we're going to talk about. We're going to look here, the theme I wrote down here, is what is Christian liberty and how does it work? So that basically is understanding Christian liberty. Freedom is an amazing thing. A lot can be accomplished through freedom. Freedom is very desirable and sought after. Freedom is good. I put this, freedom is amazing. It's good. It's sought after. But freedom can also be dangerous. You say, what do you mean? And today, we have more freedom than ever. In some way, we are more addicted in the country to alcohol and drugs and sexual passion, violence, and many other forms of bondage in which people become powerless to escape. As a nation, we're freer than we've ever been. And here it is. It's what's sad. From the Word of God. No, that's not a good thing, by the way. Yet we're more bound by addiction and more miserable. Have you ever seen it? So many people think addiction is a restriction, yet the further we get from the Word of God, from the authority, the more in bondage we become. You know? I mean, even on a government level, like, you know, with the laws and rules, we can't talk today. You know? You don't want to follow this law, this rule, and then before you know it, you're in bondage. You know, if you don't want to follow the speed limit, what happens? You get a ticket. You get long enough, you lose your license. Not much freedom in that, is there? As a child, as a teenager, I always wanted more freedom. I always wanted to stay out later. I always wanted to go further. I always wanted to have more say. And what I could do, how I could do it, that was just me. I mean, I wasn't necessarily rebellious, I just wanted freedom. My dad one time, I don't know if he came up with this on his own, but he told me that freedom was like a rope. He said, you can do some really good things with a rope, but that same rope, and talk about freedom in my case, can also hang yourself. He said, you keep wanting the rope. You keep pulling at the rope. You want this rope. That's great. Rope's a great thing to have. But that rope that you have, if it's misused, can hang yourself. And basically what he was saying was, with more freedom comes more responsibility. And with more responsibility, if it's not handled correctly, comes greater consequences. Today we're going to be looking at Christian freedom or Christian liberty. John MacArthur said this, the idea of Christian freedom is easily misinterpreted and misapplied. Paul knew the importance of understanding its true significance. In Galatians chapter 5, 13-15, he explains freedom's basic nature and purpose, and how God made provisions for believers to live in it. Many people, under the name of Christian liberty, make the excuse to indulge in sin guilt-free. We'll get more in depth in that today, but that's not biblical. Christian freedom or Christian liberty has never been a ticket to sin. Using liberty as a license to sin this morning is something that I'm kind of glad to speak on, because it's definitely more applicable today than legalism. Because that's what we've been talking about this whole Galatians, basically. You got two sides of the coin, legalism, and then you got the license to sin at will. Well, today, in most cases, we don't have the problem of legalism. We do, but not as much. What we have a big problem with, and people saying, I'm under the blood. Grace abounds. And Paul said in Romans 6, therefore, it doesn't matter what I've done, God forgive me. That's true. It doesn't matter how I live because I'm under the blood. And a problem that gets kind of twisted a little too much. And not only twisted, it's just not how you're going to live. And I'll explain it to you, so just stay with me. Anyway, because of so much understanding, we're going to look at Christian liberty today. And we're going to do this. It's going to be more of a process, okay? So, point one is going to lead to point two. And point two is going to lead to point three. And point three is going to lead to point four. Had a 2-point last week. Now we got 4 points. So, but it's going to build on itself, okay? So, each one's going to transition. Most of my sermons, they all stand kind of independently. This week, it's going to be like, you know, they're going to connect a little more. So, anyway. So, number one, to get a greater understanding of Christian liberty from the Word of God, let's first lay the groundwork. Now, I want you to understand, number one, Christ provides liberty. Okay, I want you to understand that. Look at verse 13. It says here, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. And that's where so many people, they read that, they don't keep reading. We'll get that here in a minute. But we do, we have been called to liberty. It makes it clear, Paul said that you have been called to liberty. God has called us not to bondage, but to liberty. And that would be my response to anybody who says you got to live under the law. Okay, that's really what we're talking about here. But we have been called by God to enjoy the blessing and the liberty of freedom. Okay, I want you to understand that. We are. We have liberty. We are free. We are no longer bound by a list of do's and don'ts. Okay, I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. We are not no longer, they're not really, Old Testament is not statutes or law that we have to look at each morning and say, okay, now stay with me, because I know you say, well, you mean to tell me we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments? We will. But we don't have to give each morning and say, okay, check. You'll see what I'm saying here in a minute. Stay with me. But we're not under it like the Jews were. I mean, we all can agree with that. None of us live like the Jews do back in the Old Testament. We don't approach it the same. We are free. The problem is when we're shouting about being free and alluding to verses, many times we don't know what it encompasses. We only have part of the story. And that's the thing, so many times, and I don't think it would be the attitude in this congregation today, but you have a lot of people who call themselves Christians, who may be Christians, may not be, I don't know, yet they love to take that first part and say, we've been called to liberty. Don't tell me how to live. God doesn't care. And the problem, that's only part of the story. We like, and even as Christians, we like to declare freedom. But meantime, we don't define and describe what freedom is. Even as Americans, we live in a land of free. But if you don't have to live here alone, and it's not a slam toward our culture, or it's not a slam against where our country's at today, but take 100 years ago, 50 years ago. It doesn't take very long living in America to know that it's not completely the land of the free, right? I mean, I went to community college, history of civilization. There's really no such thing. I mean, I don't know if there's no such thing, but we all give up some of our freedom for the betterment of society. We learned about that. For example, driving. Somewhere, somebody got together, whether we were representative or we all got a vote, I don't know. But somewhere, somebody said, okay, it's not safe to have unlimited freedom going down the road. It's not safe to let Sonny drive 100 miles down the road. Or me. So what we decided somewhere is said, I'm going to give up some of my freedom, not even to go 100 miles an hour, to protect society. So when we say we're in the land of the free, we have to describe, and more than that, we have to define what freedom is, even in America. Because here's the thing, too. And today, you say, well, I'm in the land of the free. Brother Mark got a Mustang, right? He said, I'm going to go ride down the road 150 miles an hour. He said, I'm free. I'm in the land of free. What's going to happen? He's going to get a ticket. And if he gets caught, and he will get caught eventually. See, you said, what are you getting at? Here's the thing. You have a license to drive. You're free. But it's not a license just to do what you want. If all you do is say, I'm free, I got a license, then as a Christian, you're heading towards destruction. And for the Lord says, I got a Mustang, I'm free, you're not really going to get a tax on it. I've got my license to drive. And he can do that. Even if he don't get a ticket, he's heading for destruction somewhere down the road. As a Christian, we can say, look at verse 13, that I've been called to liberty. That's it. I'm free to do what I want. Well, you can say that, but when you do that, you're heading toward destruction. And here's the thing. And here's the problem. Because you have mistakenly taken liberty to mean lawlessness. Even in America, we have liberty, but we don't live in a land of no laws. And I'm glad of that. See, that's what people do in America. Well, I'm free. We are free, but we live in a land of laws as well. Same thing as a Christian. You have liberty, but liberty should not be taken to mean lawlessness. The reason for that is many believers don't properly understand Christian liberty. So let's progress a little further. Right now, I forgot. That was a call to liberty. Excuse me, I didn't tell you that. That's the whole what I've been talking about. They called them to liberty. Paul says, you have been called to liberty. But let's move a little further. Let it be. The condition for liberty. I don't want to talk about this as well. Many people, here's another problem we have. Many people love to shout, I've been freed. I've been forgiven. But they've not met the condition for liberty. Although most, I think we know this, I don't want to assume. Here's the condition for liberty. If you look at verse 1, we've already preached this verse. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty. You see that word again. Wherefore, means Christ has made us free. I want you to understand that the condition for liberty, another problem we have, and that we have people who say, I'm free to do what I want, and that's wrong, and I've got liberty. But then my question is, do you have Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? And that's the thing, so many people have it. So that's a condition for liberty. And we're not going to profound, because some of y'all want to sleep on me, I can tell. Stay with me, get better. Because we're laying this as the foundation, okay? I understand you know this, but we're going to answer the question, if we're free, then how do we not live in lawlessness, okay? So stay with me. Let us see the context of liberty. This is where the wheels come off the track for many believers. We have liberty, but we have to know what have we been liberated from. Have you ever thought about that? When we say we have liberty, what are we free from? Very, very important. The context of the Bible tells us where liberty is being used and what we're free from. By now, you ought to know the context. There are Jews who are teaching that are still bound to the law. Paul said, you have been liberated. Christ has liberated you from the law. So I want you to understand, in the context here, they are talking about being free from being bound to the law and a system of governing, regulating daily life. So here's the thing. We don't have to get up and we don't have to read the Old Testament to make sure that we're regulating our life. Okay, he said you're free from the yoke of being regulated by every little detail of your life. And that's how it was, okay? I want you to understand that. That's what they're being freed from, which is very, very important. Now, obviously, in the New Testament, it does sometimes refer to being free from the dominion of sin, and which will definitely play into this, but we're not going to talk about that today, but it definitely applies. in this verse, he emphasizes the fact that the Galatians have been free from the bondage of the Mosaic law. Yes, they've been free from the power and penalty of sin, but here in the context of liberty is liberty from the law. Listen, we were for a long time regulating the conduct of followers of God. That's important. That's important for you to catch what I'm saying there. Now he's saying you're free from that. You're free from what regulated the conduct of people who believe in God. Now here's the thing. What will happen? Will believers go crazy? Well, let us tell you, woo! I remember when I was in like 7th grade, at the end of school year, I took all my books that were like notebooks, and I ripped them up and threw them. Woo! I was free! No more do I have to live under this taskmaster of school. Is that how we're going to act? Is that what's going to happen? And this new teaching of being having liberty led to concern, letter D. The concerns of liberty. Although they were wrong. Now stay with me, because it is very good, because it still applies today. Although the Judaizers were wrong, and even some of the immature Jewish believers, they were concerned about being free from the law, because it would lead to lawlessness. Okay, so here's the question, and even today, when I say that, like I said, the Ten Commandments, we all agree that we should follow the most of the Ten Commandments, right? We don't keep the Sabbath day, but what Paul's saying here, you gotta understand it. He's saying we are free from the Ten Commandments. We're no longer under the bondage of that. Okay, so how do we reconcile that? Well, what are you gonna do with somebody who's not saved and says, "Well, you say that you should follow the Ten Commandments, and that we shouldn't kill, but it says right here that you have been freed from the law." How do we, see, now I got you, wait, how do we answer that? How do we answer that? Well, I'm going to tell you. But anyway, that's a concern, is that now, that people just going to live like they want, and people have misapplied the truth of liberty in their lives to do basically what they want. This concern leads us to this question. Does liberty from the law lead to lawlessness? Does liberty mean a license to sin to go as fast as you want down the road? Does liberty mean there's no speed limit? The teaching of Christian liberty might easily mean that there's nothing to stand in the way of the unrestrained indulgence of one's own impulses. Even in your life, if we're free from the Ten Commandments, then what's going to keep me from not breaking them? Their concern leads us to the next point. So that's what I'm saying. That's from tying number two. Liberty has limitations. All right, I want you to understand that. Liberty has limitations. Look at verse 13 again. It always does well to read before and after. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. As fast as Paul declared on liberty, he just as fast described what it isn't. He placed some limits on it. Letter A here, liberty isn't a source for sin. The meaning of the flesh here refers to the sin nature that we have, and even as we're saints. It means just sinful desires. The word occasion, and you'll see that word occasion, that is a military term speaking of the base of operation. John MacArthur said this, that occasion indicates a central base in which all operations of a military campaign originate. Paul declares that at Christian freedom is not a base of operation for which the flesh is given opportunity to carry its campaign of sin freely. We are not to make our liberty from the law and base of operation went to serve sin. I'll say that again. So what he's saying here is that we're not ever supposed to say, and you're over here doing something you're not supposed to, and someone, maybe they got the courage to say, that's not biblical. Or maybe the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, and you sit there and say, well, I got Christian liberty. Your freedom from the law should never be a base of operation to say, hey, I can sin when I want to. No. That's exactly what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, no. Now, I don't think just as a whole that we would have that attitude. But and Owen's been around, we have a Christianity that's not Christian that would have that attitude that, hey, I've got Christian liberty. I've been free. I can therefore use my freedom as a platform to do what I want, to sin. He's saying, no, you can't do that. Christ or Christian liberty is not the freedom to sin. Christ does not give freedom to believers so they can do what they want. For the first time, God, because of love, can fulfill the law. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let me get here. I know that was good. Get a little bit of a timeout. Within the bounds of a particular situation, even the most ungodly unbeliever are all men free to do what they want themselves. They have more than ample opportunity to indulge the desires of the flesh. It was not necessary for Christ to provide that sort of liberty. So what he's saying, in other words, because I read that kind of fast, we all already have liberty to sin, right? Why would Christ provide that kind of liberty? So if you're still not convinced, the Christian liberty is never a liberty to sin. And without the Bible, we already have that liberty. Why would Christ do that? Why would Christ add to that? He's not. Christian liberty isn't a source for sin. Let it be. Liberty doesn't change God's standards. Before liberty, let me read a couple of verses. In Leviticus 20:26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord am holy, and ye shall serve, and shall serve from other people. Ye shall be mine. Leviticus 11:14. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself, and ye shall be holy. So that's the Old Testament, right? That's under the law of the Lord. I like you. Give me eye contact. That's why I say your name all the time. No. And you're here and saying right here, like, y'all, like, right here, boom. That's why I see y'all all the time right here. I don't see y'all in the back. So y'all can just go back to sleep, so y'all messing. You see, that's the Old Testament. That was before liberty. That was God's standard. Let's read some verses after liberty. 1 Peter chapter 1. In case you didn't know, that was after Jesus died on the cross. But ye which have called you is holy, so be ye holy. Wait a minute. That's after liberty. You're free. What's God's standard? Holiness. 2 Corinthians 7:1. After liberty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Romans 12:1. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We said, what's your point? Liberty doesn't change God's standard. This is God's standard, holiness, for you and for me. Before liberty in the Old Testament, Jesus died, gave us liberty, and called us to freedom. But when he did that, the standard still stayed the same, holiness. Liberty has its limitations. The freedom from which Christ set us free is the freedom to live a righteousness in the power of the Holy Spirit. God's standard of holiness has not changed. And that's the thing, that's what people do. What happens here is someone says, I'm free. And you say, well, God still wants you to live a certain way. Well, now you're legalistic. No. No. God's standard never changed. God's standard of holiness has not changed. I just proved that biblically in like 5 verses. Liberty has its limits that will keep us from sinning, and it's called love. point number three. See, we're kind of connected. Number three. Limitations are a product of love. Not legalism. See, here's the thing. We'll get to it in a minute. The reason that you no longer have to, as we say, follow the Ten Commandments, and for a different reason. You stay with me to point four. Limitations are a product of love. We are limited. Our freedom is limited by the four-letter word, love. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 13. The third part of it. Okay, so let's see what verse 13. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. That was the first part. We're free. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. I mean, we have limits. That was point number two. Point one, point two. I'm coming straight from the text, which I'm very excited about this sermon. Here's why. This is not what I would call my revival sermon, if I wanted to impress people. But this sermon today is going to teach you the Word of God. See, right here, the Word of God. That's point number three. Here it is. But by love, serve one another. So, and limitations are a product of love. Okay, I want you to understand that. So now we're still bringing it all full circle. That's kind of what this is. It's like a little, you ever seen a chart with little arrows and a circle and it all connecting? It's kind of what this is. Right away. Limited. Your freedom is limited due to your compassion. I put this on Facebook. Some of y'all might have saw it. I'm going to quote that same thing. Wiest, who is the author of the Greek New Word Studies or something like that. The antidote against using their liberty from the law as a pretext for sinning, in other words, what keeps us from sinning because we're free, is found in the exhortation by love, serve one another. Now here's the biblical truth. You are free. But your love for God and for man will limit how you use that freedom. Same thing with the car, same with the Mustang. We know, and the general rule why society don't let us go 100 miles an hour. Because at the end of the day, I love Brother Mark, and hopefully he loves me, and all the other people in Kingsport, not to go that fast all the time, at least. But it endangers other people. Our love restricts us. We live in a land of the free, but our love for our neighbor, even on a government, even in a world, not the biblical world, limits that. Same thing true in our freedom from the Old Testament. You know, we're free from the Ten Commandments. We have liberty. But your love will limit that. See, and you say, well, let me get a little further. The Greek word for love here is agape. You've probably heard that a million times. And agape is the strongest love. But here's really what I want you to understand. Agape love is not human affection, but divine love. The love produced in the heart of a yielded believer by the Holy Spirit. Agape is love that is produced by the Holy Spirit inside of you. So therefore, when somebody says they're forgiven, yet they keep living like they want, and they say, well, we're free from the law, they're missing something. They're missing the Holy Spirit's love in them. Okay, so stay with me. So anyway, the love in which the believer should love his fellow believer. This agape love that is produced in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit inside of us, is whose chief essence is self-sacrifice and for the benefit of the one who is loved. So agape love is self-sacrificing. Agape love says, I love Brother Howard to the point where I love him more than I love myself and what I want to do. Such love means death to self. And that means defeat for sin, since the essence of sin is self-will and self-gratification. So let me say it like this. I should have put that quote up there. I forgot. You get saved. You're free from the law. But something happened. You get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces love. Now you are no longer under, you're free from thou shalt not kill. But because you have the Holy Spirit's love in you, how could I ever kill someone when I love them more than I love myself? When it's a type of love of self-sacrifice, then I'm no longer going to kill whoever I'm mad at. I don't need the Old Testament saying, thou shalt not kill, because I got the Holy Spirit inside of me saying love. Love limits your freedom. Same thing with a car. I'm not going to, most of the time, not now, when I was young, I would have, I'm not going to go fast now. I'm not going to do things that are reckless most of the time because I love the people around me. I don't want to get in a wreck. Even if I can go 100 miles an hour, I probably wouldn't because I don't want to, number one, danger myself now. I've turned 36 this week. I'm wiser than I was at 26. But also there's to be a love. Also be a love. That says, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to endanger the other people around me. The same Christ that set you free from the law is also the same one that produces a divine love due to your new nature that will limit that freedom. Let me read that again because I wrote it. The same Christ that set you free from the law is also the same one that produces a divine love due to your new nature that will limit that freedom. Your love for God and man will limit how you act because all the commandments hang on love of God and man. Therefore, your liberty will not lead to sin because of love. So next time, and so that's why it's so irritating when you hear somebody say, well, that's why when someone says, well, I'm forgiven, I'm under liberty, and I can do what I want. That's why I question your salvation. But that is not the attitude of a saved person. The attitude of a saved person got the Holy Spirit inside of them. Now, it could be at times a sign of an immature believer, possibly because I'm not matured. You are limited by your compassion, but also let it be by your commission. Okay? Go to verse 13 again. I keep looking in the wrong spot. Verse 13. But by love, there's the compassion. We're limited by our love. Serve, there's the commission. Serve one another. So basically, let it be I'm talking about the Word of God today. It's the Word of God. So that's all we're doing today. We're just dissecting the Word of God. See, therefore, so, yeah, I'm free! Woo! You're limited, though, by your commission. The word serve there is a Greek word, and you've probably heard of this, doulos. And you know your book called that? At college, or Bible college, we went to the doulos. It means servant, slave. It comes from the word that means to be in a position of servant, to act accordingly, bondage. Alright, so let's add this to another level. You're free, right? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is going to produce love in you to where you're not going to disobey the Bible. Okay? But you also are in now a different type of servitude. Christ rescued us from a form of slavery which legalism imposed and brought into a new servitude of loving and serving God and man. So, you got free from being under the yoke of the law to be put under another one. Serving one another and serving God. You're still a servant. You still have a commission to serve God and to serve one another. And if you're doing that, then you're not going to break the law, the moral laws of God. You're not going to do anything that will cause you to be unholy. Your commission limits the Christian use liberty as a pretext of sin. You are a new creature who no longer serves sin, but serves God and man. That service will limit how you can and use your freedom from the law. And we've not even got on Romans 6:1 that says if you're dead to sin, how can you serve sin? We're not even talking about that today. We're talking about being liberated from the law and what it does. Limitation of freedom from the law are produced by compassion and your commission for God. So, full circle here. Number 4. The full circle. And it is. Love fulfills the law. Remember? And I didn't put it in my point one. Let me see if I can find point one real quick. Crime provides liberty. I will put it in there. From the law. That's what I said. I didn't put it on a point. Now we'll get back to point four. We're free. Now we made a full circle. Love fulfills the law. So anybody who has this mindset that, well, I'm free to do what I want. I'm saved and Holy Spirit inside of me. Oh, he has cleansed me. He's not cleansed you if he ain't changed you. Oh, let me tell you, if you're not changed, you've not been cleansed. Because here's the deal. Love fulfills the law. Letter A. What is God's commandment? Have always been to love. God's nature has never changed, and neither has his standard of right and wrong. The ethical truth of the Old Testament law are exactly the same as those of the New Testament gospel. Here's some Old Testament verses. Deuteronomy 6:5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and all thy soul, and all thy might. Right in the middle of the law. Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. There's that. Don't do this. But listen. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So let's read some New Testament passages. Matthew 22:36-40. Master, when is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like to the like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God has always called his people to serve and obey him because they love him. God hadn't changed his nature or his standard. Holy and holiness. Christian freedom is not a license to ignore God's desire for holiness, but rather an opportunity to fulfill it. And let me say that again, I think that really depicts the attitude of Christians. Christian freedom is not a license to ignore God's desire for holiness. And that's exactly what people do. Many people just live like they want and say, what? God freed me. So you're using God's freedom that he gave you as a way to ignore God's call for holiness? Please don't tell me you're doing that. God wants you to be holy in the Old Testament. God wants you to be holy in the New Testament. Yet you're going to say, well, God freed me so I don't have to focus on being holy. At that point, you don't either aren't saved or you are so immature, not grasp that. And then when somebody like me gets up and say, well, I don't think you're saved, like, we need the Bible. And that's what we're living at, basically in the Bible. Everybody's saved, but so many people don't live like it. You know, I hear what I'm talking about. God hadn't changed his nature or his standard. Christian freedom is not a license to ignore God's desire for our holiness, but here it is, but rather the opportunity to fulfill. Now we're free, but now we're not only being freed, we also have the power to fulfill it, because we have divine power in us. Letter B. Loving God and man fulfills the law, quote, that we are free from. There's the answer. You're free. See, you are free. Yeah, you're free from the Ten Commandments. Like I said, and some of y'all looked at me like I was kind of crazy, and I am, but I wasn't wrong. You are free from the Ten Commandments. You're no longer under that bondage. But loving God, divine love, agape love, for loving God and man, fulfill the law. Look at verse 14. I can back it up. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Now let's stop there. Because if you're like me, you'll see here that Paul doesn't just say one word, does he? So he lying? One word? I mean, even in the Greek, it's more than one word. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. So I don't want to say this for some people, because once again, somebody may come to you and be like, well, Paul says one word, but it's more than one word. That's why it's so important to always consult Greek scholars and sources. One word means logos. You've probably heard that Greek word. And logos can refer to one word or a group of words. So in the Greek, when he said logos, he said, it can be filled in logos. It can be filled in a group of words, meaning a phrase. All logos be fulfilled in one phrase. And here's that phrase. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law. Once again, the Judaizers were just emphasizing one, circumcision. But Paul said, with divine love, the whole law can be fulfilled. Some of y'all might read behind Linsky, he's an old scholar. He said he's correct to remind us that love described in this verse is not simply an attitude of good feeling that we should have toward other human beings. That's what, like, I just love them. And that special kind of love that exists in the heart of a Christian and the result of faith in the gospel. We go back, somebody who's a Christian yet says, well, I don't have to follow the law. Something's wrong, because the love that we're talking about here is a love that's produced by the Holy Spirit, and that was going to fulfill the law. The love of Christ wants to fulfill the law, not because he's under the law, but in us. I came up with that again. I'm pretty proud of it. I'm going to say it again. None of y'all seem impressed. The love of Christ wants to fulfill the law, not because we're under the law, but because the love of Christ is in us. If Christ is the law and the Word of God in flesh, then the Holy Spirit is the same thing, so we have the law in us. We don't follow the law because it's above us, but because it's in us. That's why. So when someone says, I'm saved, but I don't have to follow God's standard of holiness, then I'm like, then you don't have it in you. Because if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to be producing love and a desire to keep the law. And even when I said about 2 months ago, the question that comes up, why do we not follow all the Old Testament? Here it is. There's ceremonial laws, there's dietary laws, and there's moral laws. We still follow the moral law. Because the law, God's standard has not changed. And love in us is going to fulfill or going to want to follow God's moral law. Okay? Paul's statement becomes intelligent and consistent when we recognize the following things. Kind of let's sum this up. First, the believer, through his new relationship to the Lord, Jesus, on release from the whole law and the statutes, from the obligation to obey its statutes. Second, all which God's law will express by his will required and included in love. Basically, all of God's laws, like the moral law, will be expressed because of love. When a believer acts on the priceless, on love, when he acts on the premise of love, excuse me, I had a typo, on the premise of love, he is fulfilling his actions to God and a fellow man and himself and all the Mosaic law which will require him in his position of life to follow. The statutes of law, the believer will obey as far as love itself requires such a course of action. Now that's a lot of words, but anyway, here it is. We get saved. We have been free from the law. But the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and produces a divine love. And because God's standard hasn't changed, which is holiness, God's love in us, and when we love God and we love man, then we're going to fulfill the moral laws of the Bible. Here's the thing I want you to understand. We are free in Christ. Yet, when Christ freed us from the law, He freed us from the law, but not the law of love. We have love, if we're a Christian, we have love, divine love in our hearts, to obey the law that involves God and man. Thus, here it is, your freedom will never be an excuse to sin. Never. And if you can sin, and you pop this verse out, part of it, as your justification, then there's something wrong in your life. There's something wrong in your life. And now I don't know where you're at. I mean, I know the whole, and I think that church's attitude, but if you can just sit around and lean on Christian liberty as an excuse to live like you want, then there's something wrong in your life, spiritually speaking. There's something wrong. If that's your attitude. Now, again, we're all going to make mistakes. I'm not saying that. I mean, that's your attitude. If that's your approach, there's something wrong. Because the way I see it here, you get saved, you're free from the law, the Holy Spirit comes out of you, He produces love, and that love is going to fulfill the law. It's going to give you a desire to. It's going to give you a desire to. It's not a demand anymore, it's now a desire. And if you don't have that desire, there's something wrong. If you don't have that desire to be holy, there's something wrong. And that's just biblical, that is just good biblical preaching of what a Christian is. And we have gotten really far away from that in what I call the Christian circle. I'm standing on our feet with our hands bowed, eyes closed, the piano players come up. I don't have much else to say today because I feel like I covered everything I needed to. But I know one thing, if I speak on the outside, I'm very excited about the sermon. And I love to be able to teach, and I hope that I, because this has always been kind of a, even in myself, I learned a lot this week myself. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe you just learn a little more. Hey, maybe God convicted you. I don't know what it is. I'm not in the Holy Spirit. All I can do is preach and declare on the outside, and the Holy Spirit speaks on the inside. And if God spoke to you, maybe you have been kind of, maybe you've been misapplying Christian liberty. Because of what it said. I read behind more than one person. They said, most people misapply and misinterpret Christian liberty. And they begin to play, and God spoke to you. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're worried that you're not saved. Maybe you're concerned that, hey, I don't have that desire. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you say, man, I've been shouting about being forgiven, but I've not been changed. I don't know what it is for you. Hey, maybe, and it's not judgmental, but maybe right now, and we preach on this, you know people like that. You know people who say, oh, I'm a Christian, yet they don't fulfill the law because they don't have the love of God inside of them. They're not concerned about loving God and man. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they don't have that agape love. Maybe they don't have that because the Holy Spirit is not into them. Maybe you know that. Or maybe you think that. Hey, pray for them. Make sure you pray for yourself. Make sure you inspect yourself. But hey, that's the thing. That's what we're combating in Kingsport, in America, in the Bible Belt. If we're combating that one thing, that I'm saved, I've been forgiven, oh, I've been freed, but then they don't live the way God tells them to. Or not even that, they don't have a desire to. There's something wrong. Pray for that person. Maybe you are that person. Maybe you are that person. Hey, today's the day to surrender your life.